Well, greetings from the West Coast, the Gulf Coast of Florida. We have a lot to share on today's program.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman, as we are in our final week here in the state of Florida. As many of you know, my wife and I traveled down here just a little over 2 weeks ago to take care of some family business, some important things that needed to be done with our home, and a chance for me to visit some family I haven't seen in well over 2 years and was unable to do so during the time of dealing with my bladder cancer surgeries and treatments. I'm feeling great. I am a bit tired because of all the travel and the things we're doing, up early, up late. It's been quite a time. And I'll be glad to get back to our home base in Virginia a little bit later this week and back with my congregation at Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia, as well this coming Sunday. Now, on the Friday program, we hope to have the audio from the message I preached yesterday at Freedom Church in Vero Beach, Florida. We're working on that and hope to have the audio content of that message for you this coming Friday. It has been a great time. That's all I'm going to say. It's been a needed time. This is kind of, we're doing a lot of work, taking care of a lot of important things that have been put off, that couldn't be put off any longer. Just the stuff of life. And trying to also create a mini vacation in the middle of it for a few days. So my wife and I, right now, we are on the west coast of Florida in the little community of Osprey, just north of Venice, Florida, south of Sarasota, where we're staying for a couple of days. And then we'll work our way back to our home base in Port St. Lucie. And from there, later this week, we begin our journey northward again to our home in Virginia. So keep us in prayer. Doing the radio program, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a little bit difficult at times. Some of the setup I'm using is small, a bit primitive, but it's getting the job done, and for that, I'm truly thankful. There's a lot of things that are on my mind. We talked last week on Thursday and Friday a little bit about the pandemic. As we enter the month of March now, it was 4 years ago, right about now, that I headed off to another state to help a county in their response for the COVID-19 pandemic. None of us, I think, really knew at the time what was actually happening, what to expect. Honestly, when I went up, I thought I'd be up there for a few weeks, maybe a month, tops. And as we got into the month of March and then into April and into May, we're still dealing with this pandemic. I had mentioned on Thursday's program that we're coming up on the anniversary. Around the 16th of this month is the fourth anniversary of 15 days to flatten the curve. Hard to believe. 15 days to flatten the curve. The only thing I think it did, it flattened the economy. It flattened our hopes. It flattened our dreams. It flattened many a business. It flattened many a bank account for this pandemic. And as we look back, as I look back over these 4 years, the lies are piling up that were given to us by the medical community and governments and those that should know better and those that did know better kept perpetuating one lie after another after another. And we've been hearing for over a year, year and a half now, hey, it's time to move on. You know, forget that we made some mistakes here. No, there were no mistakes. All of this was by design. All of this was intentional. All of those that lied to the American people, to the world community, I don't care where you live, whether you're in Canada, your health authorities, your man-child Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, he lied to you and still lies to you. And he doesn't care. The same in the UK, European Union, Australia, United States, places all over the globe fell for this big fat lie. And the fact that people unnecessarily died because of what were called COVID protocols is still a very sore spot for me. I'm thinking in my mind, I'm not going to mention names or places, of people that I know that were in nursing homes who were denied the normal kind of a treatment somebody would receive for the flu. Instead, they were quarantined, that their lives were made miserable. Oh, all for your safety, of course. Older people denied visits from their family because of the COVID virus. Families being told not to gather for Christmases or Easter or any other time, 4th of July. I can remember Joe Biden in 2021 saying, you know, if you get vaccinated, you know, a few of you can gather for a hot dog on the 4th of July, but keep your social distance and wear your face diaper. This is the kind of silliness that would not stop. And yet qualified, respected, peer-reviewed doctors stated over and over again, what we are doing is insane. Yet they're the ones that were attacked brutally. They're the ones whose videos or any information put out there on YouTube or fascist book or Twitter at the time, they were literally deplatformed, demonetized, whatever the case may be, they were systematically destroyed. So there'd be one narrative and one narrative only, the big fat lie. You had big fat liars. Rochelle Walensky at the CDC, one of the worst. I can remember going back to 2020 when you look at the pandemic czars, so to speak, you know, little mini Mengele, Dr. Anthony Fauci, standing there on a, you know, probably a milk crate or something so he could get his eyes above the podium. Deborah Birx, and she, you know, with her scarf ensemble. All of them knew what they were doing. They knew at the time they talked to you, they were lying. And as I look back now, and I say this cautiously, okay? So just kind of bear with me. I say this cautiously. Mike Pence, vice president at the time, I think he was in on a lot of this too, because it's increasingly obvious he's just a deep stater that runs around talking the talk, pretending that he walks the walk, but he's a deep state insider playing the role that he has of the loyal opposition. He stabbed the American people in the back at the time of the election. Election boards throughout the United States, in especially Democrat counties, all of this $400 million in Zuckerbucks, you know, from fascist book, to make sure that there were these big bins to drop off your ballot. And then you had people dropping off hundreds of ballots. Where did they come from? Were they legitimate ballots? Were they taken from nursing homes? Did they buy them? There's still questions that have never been answered because none of these have ever been adjudicated in a court of law. In every case, as I go back in my mind to 2020 and 2021, the courts never heard the cases on procedural matters or matters of standing. You don't have any standing in this case, so we don't want to hear your evidence. What was it, about a week and a half ago? Yeah, a week ago this past weekend, there was the primary in South Carolina, and there were a lot of voting machine issues. And one county voting official said, well, we're having a problem with the machines because they're not connected to the internet. I thought there was a firewall and a wall where they were not connected to the internet for fear of them being, well, shall we say, hacked? And apparently that's a big lie. Apparently these machines do have a gateway to the internet that they should not have. There was a court case going on in Georgia where a guy came in and he was able to, in no time, with a pencil, manipulate a machine. Oh, but Bob, they had the machine for like a month or two and they were able to figure it out. Well, the designers of the machines knew how that could happen, and I'm sure that information could potentially have been leaked. I'm not saying it was, but it could have been. So don't say it can't happen. Don't say it was impossible. I still look at the video from Fulton County, Georgia. Yeah, good old Fulton County, Georgia, a Democrat sewer. Just a disgusting Democrat sewer run by buffoons, idiots, morons, ungodly people, hopeless people, irredeemable people, that county is going to take the state of Georgia down to the pits of hell if it is allowed to continue the way it's continuing. And Fannie Willis and her lover and all the lies coming out of that case, and they dare go after Trump on trumped up charges?
He was trying to overturn an election. He needs to go to jail.
Fannie, you need your Fannie in jail for probably the next 5 years for perjury, for lying to the people of Georgia, the American people, and carrying on an illicit affair with a married man and trying to deny it in court. There's no doubt in my mind with the evidence out there that the judge, if he has, I mean, it's reasonable to think, it's reasonable to understand. This case should never have been bought, and the fact you have a low-life, low-rent governor in Brian Kemp and his idiot little sidling, you know, his little boy, you know, Raffensperger, the Secretary of State who wants to be governor, I'm sure, just like Brian Kemp did. Brian Kemp is all about Brian Kemp and making money for Brian Kemp and selling what he's been able to gain in Georgia when he leaves office in after 2026. He's a sham and a fraud. He's a phony Republican. He's a Roswell Rhino, whatever you want to call them. He is what is wrong with the Republican Party today. The Republican Party is in deep trouble. Look at the recent elections of recent years. Rona McDaniel at the helm. Yeah, right. Mitt Romney's family member. Another fake, phony, and fraud. The Republican Party is full of them. At least with the Democrat Party, you kind of know where you stand for the most part. They're into the globalism. They're into a one-world government. They're into taxes. They're into destroying the United States as we know it. It's all about us versus them. And they don't care how much they have to lie, how many lies they have to tell, how many times they have to, you know, basically shaft you to get their way or lie to you to get what they want. They're going to do it. And they're going to have zero conscience because their consciences have been seared. They're into this transgenderism nonsense. They're into gay weddings. They're into beating up any Bible-believing Christian that goes against their agenda, that disagrees. They want you silenced. They want you punished. They want you in prison if they had their way. And we keep seeing over and over and over again these people that are supposed to be the conservatives of our nation, and they're not. You know, I have been a conservative pretty much all my life. Oh, I'm sure that I was in junior high. What did I know? In high school, I began to develop my core values. I was opposed to the Vietnam War, but that did not make me a Democrat. I was opposed to the war because there was no reason being given that made any logical sense to somebody that was 16, 17, and 18 at the time to fathom why are people dying in a corrupt nation like Vietnam? What is the plan to win? There never was one. I've talked to enough Vietnam vets that will tell you that they had their hands tied behind their back. It was a war of attrition. Jungle warfare, people's lives destroyed, mental health. There are Vietnam veterans now in their 70s and 80s that are still paying the price for this unnecessary, unwinnable war the way we fought it. Korea is still a standstill after what, 70 years? Over 70 years, it's been a standstill? We have a demilitarized zone and just a ceasefire. The elite global state, they love their wars. They can't get enough of them. Wars make money. Wars can fix economies temporarily. It's their Band-Aid fix for when the economy goes south. When the economy begins to stink, well, just fire up a war somewhere. Whether you like Trump or not, he was right. We did not need to get ourselves into any new wars just to cover up the disaster of our national finances. And then you have the likes of Nikki Haley, whose husband makes money with a company that he's involved with on the, shall we say, the benefits of war. I've said this dozens of times. Dwight Eisenhower was right in 1961. Before he left office and John F. Kennedy became the president, he said, "Beware the military-industrial complex." He made a great speech talking about up until World War II, we didn't really have a major arms industry per se. We got the things that we thought we would need, but it wasn't a big, massive industrial complex. We spun one up for World War II. And I'm still suspect in my mind, looking now, history, hindsight being 2020, what did Roosevelt know and when did he know it? When he campaigned in 1940, did he really want us to be neutral and not in the war? Honestly, I think he was looking for the first opportunity to get there, but the American people in 1940 wanted none of it. They wanted none of it. Winston Churchill kept goading Roosevelt, get in this war, help save our nation. We need your money, your arms, and your troops to fight this war against Hitler. And the Japanese decided to side with Hitler. Then the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And now there's so many people, when the evidence is beginning to creep out of the old file cabinets from 80 years ago. What did we know then, and when did we know it? There is very reliable speculation that Roosevelt knew the Japanese were going to attack and chose to do nothing about it, knowing that if the Japanese attacked, the American people that were against getting involved in any war would immediately change their mind, the politicians could vote safely, and into two wars we would go, a theater in the Pacific and one in Europe. And how many died? And how much money was made by companies that retooled for the war effort? People having to do with not replacing tires as often, having less meat to eat, less butter, less stuff, less gasoline, travel restrictions, all for the war effort. I mean, I enjoy listening when I travel alone in particular. I listen to old-time radio programs, and it's amazing to listen to radio programs recorded during the Second World War as they talk about war bonds, talk about do your part to win the war in Europe, win the war against the Japanese. America geared up. Women went into the workforce to replace the men that were fighting. Rosie the Riveter, all these things you can remember, you can see in history. And the military-industrial complex was born. And after the war, there was a recession because these companies that spun up for the war, all of a sudden there was no need to be building war machines. Then we entered the Cold War. And all these companies, like General Dynamics, just to name one, Raytheon, there are tons of them out there, Boeing, McDonnell Douglas, you name it. All of these companies, building aircraft, building warships, building tanks, needed to find a new market. And so we started funding the Cold War. We created a thing called NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The idea was to protect Western Europe from Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. And now its mission has gone far beyond that. Now they enjoy sucking up money like a vacuum cleaner to build new buildings, to buy new weapons, and give the old ones to Ukraine. I mean, that's what Lindsey Graham suggested, is give all the old NATO weapons to Ukraine, and then we'll just buy new ones for NATO. These rhino, warmongering, war-loving politicians, particularly in the Republican Party, disgust me. Now, I know there are times that there is what is called the just war principle. I get it. But some of the stuff that we have done to stoke war where war would never have occurred, had we not meddled, I'm going to say it, and I know it gets some people mad, and I don't care. The United States under Obama meddled in Ukraine unnecessarily. There was a duly elected government. There was peace in that country. until we stepped in with the CIA and our operatives to take down a duly elected government and start fostering division within that nation, corruption beyond description. Hunter Biden, yeah, he's a gas expert. That's why he's worth $50,000 a month to never show up and do anything. Selling out the United States, selling out Ukraine, all in the name of money and globalism. And with our current Justice Department, nobody cares and nobody will do a thing. No matter how many laws have been broken, no matter how many treaties have been violated, nothing's going to happen. Not the way things stand today. I pray that it changes. I can remember back years ago, I do a lot of reading, things like National Review, just to name one of many things that I've read over the years. I pretty well stopped reading a lot of National Review stuff. Billy Crystal gets under my skin like a ringworm. And he is somebody that I don't trust. He's a warmonger. Billy Crystal is one of those Republicans that supports emptying all of Latin America's prisons and mental hospitals and allowing them to come over the U.S. border to change the dynamics of this nation. Billy Crystal hates Donald Trump. He's got a massive case of Trump derangement syndrome. He pretends to be some kind of a conservative and some kind of a Republican. But this is the central lie of what is called the neoconservative movement, whose core members descend from the key figures of Russia's communist revolution. These guys are nothing but wolves in sheep's clothing. And they want us to get into more and more war to make their war masters happy and make profits for the globalists. To control the population, to have certain nations live in fear. And then companies like BlackRock can swoop right in and rebuild with taxpayer money and investments that you make in Ukraine after the war is over. A war that, I've said it time and time again, I am no fan of Vladimir Putin. Don't read me wrong on this. Please do not. I am no fan. But I know enough that nation of Ukraine only became a sovereign nation in the year of 1992. Not 1892, 1692, or 802, whatever. Doesn't matter. 1992. It had always been a part of other nations, whether it be Russia, whether it be Poland, Czechoslovakia, the Ottoman Empire, doesn't matter. And the closest they ever came to becoming a nation of their own was during World War II, when Adolf Hitler said, "I will make you a nation if you fight the Russians," which was a problem, considering that the eastern part of Ukraine was Russian, had been for hundreds of years. After World War II, the Cold War starts. Our CIA, always wanting to meddle where it shouldn't, play around and do and destabilize the world for profit, they got involved with Ukraine. The ex-Nazi soldiers of Ukraine region that served for Hitler were being paid by our own government to be a nuisance to the Soviet Union. Doesn't make any sense, but that's what we did. Then when Ukraine became a nation, it was agreed by everybody at the time that Ukraine would become a sovereign nation and a neutral nation and not a member of NATO. Let me say that again. In the original treaties that were signed at the time, in 1992, George Herbert Walker Bush's administration, remember those days? The fall of the Soviet Union? And the Russian Federation was born, and countries like Poland and Czechoslovakia became their own nation again, and on it went, and so did Ukraine. And they would be a neutral nation. They would not get involved with all of this. And they could enjoy prosperity selling their farming products, and of course they made a really good living on laundering money which was one of their greatest industries in Ukraine for decades. Corrupt as could be. Go back to 2014, 15, and 16. The Biden administration, well, I should say the Obama-Biden administration. Biden was the point man at the time for Ukraine, and his son used to travel frequently with him to Ukraine to cut these deals. And when somebody was beginning to look at corruption in a company called Burisma, it was Joe Biden that ordered the firing of the prosecutor, or you don't get your $1 billion American aid. And you've heard it before. I'm not going to repeat it here, but he got his way before he left. And a prosecutor was unnecessarily fired. And Ukraine remained a corrupt place. Now they've got a third-rate comedian. That's what he did for a living prior to being elected president. And he's just an actor. He's a stooge. He's a puppet for the globalist puppet masters. And they were going to take on Russia. Yeah, right. Russia has more nuclear arms than any other nation on the planet. Over these years, they have rebuilt their army. Their currency is more stable than the United States. That's why there's BRICS. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and a few others coming on board that'll have a gold-based real currency that could threaten the petrodollar of the United States and destroy this economy. That's what this war is all about. Attrition. Keep the money flowing. The good faith and credit, you know, of the United States. 1971, Richard Nixon took the United States off the gold standard. Gold was $35 an ounce. How much is gold today? $40 an ounce? No. Thousands of dollars. That's how worthless your money really is. The good faith and credit of the United States is nothing but debt. Debt from the Federal Reserve and foreign international bankers. And Russia and a few others hold the key to making our economy just go into total meltdown. China's not doing that great either because they're holding all of this terrible American debt. They don't really want it anymore. Yeah, we're in a very different place. So the last thing we need here in the United States are phony conservatives and phony Republicans and the Bill Kristols of this world, the Nikki Haley's of this world, the Mitt Romney's of this world, the Mitch McConnell's of this world, and many, many others, all wolves in sheep's clothing, ready to do you in. Yeah, there's a lot to consider in this world that we have today. We're on the radio for one reason, to give you stuff that the mainstream media and even some of the conservative media won't touch because, see, they're commercial operations. They can only say so much before they may offend a commercial client or have an attack by the New York Times or the Washington Post or NBC, ABC, CBS or an advertising agency or Facebook or whatever. It doesn't matter. To be assaulted, they're allowed to work in a parameter. And so they have to say that Ukraine is right, Russia is wrong, Ukraine can win. They have to say the neocon lie to stay alive, to keep the money flowing. And see, if you're one of those people in those agencies or news agencies that go against that doctrine, like Tucker Carlson, for example. The one at CBS, they lose their jobs because they're going against the state-run media narrative. What, you didn't get your memo this morning to absolutely say this? And don't think that our government doesn't play the game. The conservatives against the leftists, the right against the left, whatever. All in the confines of what they want you to think and believe. That's why we do this radio program each and every day. We're back on WTWW, and as long as the equipment stays running and things so far have been somewhat stable, we want to remain there. But the airtime at WTWW is not free. We have to pay for it each and every program. And it is a pretty substantial amount each month, but I believe it's got excellent coverage. We need to be on the air multiple times a day, multiple frequencies, reaching not just part of the United States, but all of it. and all of Canada, and even into Europe, which is now being done. You can help make that happen with your support of this radio program, Truth to Ponder. There are two ways you can support us. Number one, you can go to our website, Truth, the number two, ponder.com. Truth, the number two, ponder.com. At the website, you can find how to hear the program on radio as a podcast and also a tab for support. There's no big donate now button on the front. You got to hunt and find it. I don't want giving to be the number one thing you see when you come to the website. I want you to see the information and what the program is all about. We use GiveSendGo for online giving. It is a Christian organization, a Christian company. We have had wonderful relations with them, and it's just been totally smooth with the transactions using GiveSendGo. And they are secure. And they're not PayPal. They're not some of these others that I don't trust. So the website, Truth, the number two, ponder.com. Truth, the numeral two, ponder.com. Truth, to ponder.com. And look for the support tab. Many prefer to use check, money order, even some people cash. And that could be done by mailing it to Ancient Word Radio. And when you write your check or money order, make it say Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. That's 24319. And we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
He Who Ascends. Coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the Nice Jewish Boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Proverbs 30, 1 through 4 says, who has ascended and descended? It speaks of God and the Son of God. But when it says ascended, the word is Allah. The same word that's used in Genesis 22 when God tells Abraham to offer up his son as a burnt offering. The word for offering, burnt offering, is Allah or Olah. The burnt offering is the whole offering because it ascends, it goes up. Now, Messiah is the one who ascends. He's the one who goes up. And it says throughout the Gospels, he's going up to Jerusalem. And you know where he's going up to? He's going up to the same mountain that Abraham offered up Isaac, because he's going up to become the offering that goes up. The same place, the burnt offering, the whole offering. And so that's what it's about. Messiah went up by dying on the cross. By dying on the cross, he went up. By giving his life, he went up. By lowering himself, he was exalted. So his whole life was an olah, the offering that goes up, that ascends. So if you want to go up in your life, you want to ascend, well, you need to offer your life. You need to live sacrificially, give yourself, die to your flesh. For the flesh always goes down, but when you start dying to the flesh, you start going up. Messiah always goes up, and those who follow him, they're always going up too. But the way to go up is to give yourself completely to God. That's the Olah offering or the Allah offering, where you give yourself completely and then everything you do will ascend as an Olah to the heavenlies. Want more? Ask for Olah on CD. Now the free gift for you, The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD, you'll love it, and Sapphires with the Riches of Your Jewish Roots in Jesus, special teachings, updates on Israel, world events and prophecy, and the secrets of strength and victory for every day of your life. So how do you get the free gifts? Easy, just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you write it down and you call it. That's it. To receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-YESHUA-1. Now I invite you to join me in bringing salvation salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and the unreached peoples on five continents, over a billion people. This is the farthest way you can ever spread the gospel through shortwave radio. Touch the lost. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua, YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111. That's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip 07644. It's a Nice Jewish Boy. It's Box 1111. It's Lodi, New Jersey. And it's 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, go up, my friend, in Messiah. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you in Messiah. Ha'olah, the offering that ascends.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Monday. And once again, greetings from the west coast of Florida, the Gulf Coast. My wife and I are in the small town of Oxford, just north of Venice, where I have a daughter and granddaughter that live there and other family. And I'm just having a good time being able to be with them. I want to say something before I forget. There's a lot of correspondence I need to get out to people that have written me. There are some special requests, and it has not been easy to do it on this trip. There are times that my internet service is terrible, and I've got lack of certain programs with me. If I was at home in Virginia, it would be a lot easier. We're kind of working in a kind of a primitive environment, but we got it cobbled together. So I know there's some people looking for some material, and I will be diligently, if you haven't gotten it by now, you will be getting it soon, as we are now in a place where I can have decent internet service again. One of the things we did at home was to change our internet service provider in Florida, and because the price had just gotten out of hand. So we found a much less expensive alternative, but then we had to go make the transition. So my apologies with correspondence being delayed. It's just what has happened. There are times that I think I was born in the wrong era. Now, I know that really I'm living in the time that I should be, but there are times that I wish that I could live in a different time. I enjoy old-time radio. I enjoy some of the old-time music and how radio was in its earliest days, with news and dramas and comedies, and then the early days of playing music on radio. The engineering that went on during those days with high fidelity, then stereo. I think I would have really enjoyed living in that period of time. So I enjoy going back in history to what were we thinking back, let's say, in 1935, 1950, maybe 1962. Where were we at? What challenges do we as a nation face? A lot of people talk about the 50s being the fabulous 50s. And in many ways, they were. They weren't perfect. We had the Korean conflict. But there was one thing about our economy in the 1950s that is so different than today. A man could support his wife and his children on one paycheck. And the economy was relatively stable in most industries. There were some that I can think of that were not as stable. I can even remember into the 1960s and 70s, especially when I first came south, many people worked good jobs in the textile industry. They used to advertise on a radio station that I worked at in 1973. This textile organization trying to convince high school students that as soon as you graduate or even before, come and get a job with us. Stable paycheck, stable work, benefits, raise your family, have a great life, buy a boat. You know, that was the thing you did. But it didn't take long into the 1970s before overseas imports and moving factories to cheaper locations started killing off those jobs. And many of those people that may have dropped out of high school to get a job in textiles were suddenly unemployed, trying to find new marketable skills. Some people in their 50s and 60s, what do you do at that point except take a pay cut and hope you can survive? And ever since the 1970s, we've never really had the economy of the 1950s and 60s and early 70s. It's just been an illusion. And as I mentioned in the other half of the program, going off the gold standard and the good faith and credit of the United States began an increase of creeping inflation. 1975, when I first got married, we owned a home. Its appraised value at the time, it was a pretty new home, a couple of years old, was $18,400, something like that. $18,400. And the house payment at that time, including taxes and insurance, was a little over $100 a month. Wow, that was so expensive. We had a power bill, we had a phone bill, and we had a natural gas bill in that community. Our heat was gas and our stove was gas. Our hot water was gas. So electricity was only used for lights and air conditioning and the TV set. And somehow, on my measly paycheck, we could afford to live. My wife worked part-time, and so we had a little extra. We could buy things that we enjoyed. And life in 1975 was stable. Today, I can't say the same thing. House payments are not $100. Rents are not $150. They're, in Florida, $1,700, $2,000 and more. You get a job paying $40,000 or $50,000 a year, you can't afford to live unless there are two paychecks coming in. And I really believe that was a social construct by design to demoralize and put women in the workforce. You got one paying the bills and one paying the taxes and one paying the daycare. It's a never-ending process. I saw a picture the other day. Somebody had it on Facebook. And let me just kind of go through my pictures here, and I want to share it with you. It's kind of this picture of this man and woman talking at a fence. And the woman says, "So, as a tax assessor, your job is to charge me for the privilege of living in my home, which I purchased outright. I thought I was the property owner." And the tax man says, "Oh, you own it, but you just have to pay us to use it. And if you want to change your property, you'll have to ask permission and pay more. Same thing if you want to sell it or transfer ownership. You can't destroy any or part of it without our permission." In other words, you may own your house, but we tell you what you can do with it and how to live in it. And then you get people that are stupid enough to live in an HOA where they tell you what color you can paint it. In other words, we are no longer free. Founding fathers of the United States never intended for an income tax or people to have their basic living taxed. We never had a school tax until we had the public school system. By the way, people before the public school system were generally better educated than they are today, more functional than they are today. The one-room schoolhouse in a small town produced better people in terms of education than our expensive government-controlled schools do today. That's why I'm an advocate to getting kids out of the public sewer of a school system. Now, I know that not all school systems are bad, but most are getting that way. And increasingly, even the safe school districts are increasingly becoming unsafe. And that's why I'm a believer in Christian education. One of the projects that I want to work on when we get back, and we've been working on it for quite a while in the background, there's several people that we're trying to piece this together by this coming school year in 2024. There are many parents that would like to homeschool their kids, but they don't think they have the ability to do it on their own. And I can respect that. It's not easy. And it takes a commitment of one of the parents to make sure that it happens. And many feel they're not up to the task. They don't have their master's degree in education or something. You don't need that. I'm working with people that do have their degrees in education. Not the woke education of today, but the classic way of teaching of 50 and 100 years ago. To really teach history, really teach mathematics, really teach the fundamentals of life, English and literature. And also to have a grounded Christian education in the process, to be biblically literate. Too many people today, even church-going people, are biblically illiterate. They don't read their Bibles. They don't comprehend it. They don't see a need for it. They go to their church to be entertained and get a pep talk. But truly understanding God's word is something that has become lost in the United States and pretty much the Western world. That's why I'm talking to young college graduates that have their background in education. I know one that is making a very good living teaching for a private school online. Currently, he teaches 140 students. He could easily teach more if we put together a Christian-based academy. And we've been praying about this, and we really believe God is leading us to create this. I'm not going to be that much of a part of it, just helping it get launched and getting the technology in place and leave the education to those that are qualified to be educators, to be able to work with parents and students remotely, whether they have internet or not. We're working on that prospect too. There are ways around the internet if need be. We could easily add students, but one of the young guys told me, he said, wouldn't it be great if we had a school that didn't really have a tuition per se, that as the parents are able to support, they support as God gives to them? And I said, and add to that the requirement of parental involvement in that schooling process to make sure the work is getting done, to make sure that there's no cheating going on. Not that I'm saying they're going to cheat, but I'm saying not trying to find the easy way out, to really learn the material, to master that material, to be fluent in whatever it is that you're studying and learning. And make sure that no student is ever denied an education because of financial hardship or the inability to support. In other words, we'll look for those to help underwrite this to build a better society, a parallel society. Listen, I know there are a lot of dispensationalists out there that say nothing to worry about here because, you know, when things get bad, we'll get out and on we go with the rapture. Tell that to the folks in Poland in 1939. There was no rapture for them when the Blitzkrieg hit. Tell people all over the world that have faced major disasters and crises that lasted for years. This world has seen troubling times. It has seen tribulation and will continue to see major and massive tribulation. May not be the great tribulation. So how do we survive a bad period of tribulation, a time of testing, a time where God's hand of protection is gone because the people in this country, the majority, curse God now, don't acknowledge him. They literally hate him. And those that call themselves Christians, too many are weak and puny, and they don't really have a commitment. It's a remnant church. It's a remnant Christian family. And those are the ones that I'm trying to reach with this educational program, to help these children get away from the public schools. We're trying to develop a curriculum that'll be literally kindergarten through the 12th grade. And then there are plenty of other online college prospects following that. So all I'm saying is one thing. Keep this as a matter of prayer, because it's one of the things that I want to see launched as a parachurch ministry. Now, I don't talk much about what I do ministry-wise, and I wasn't planning on it today, but maybe today is that day to share a few thoughts. I'm putting together with other clergy an association of like-minded churches. And I don't need to get into a whole lot of detail about that. It's not important. And my goal after that is established is to step aside as fast as I can. Right now, I'm kind of its presiding bishop. That's the term we use. But I want to step aside and become purely a semi-retired missionary bishop pastoring a small local church that has a big footprint around the United States. What I really want to invest my time in is what I call the para-church ministries. In other words, those ministries that augment, assist, and help the church in its Great Commission ministry. education of young people is just one of those ministries that I feel God has called me to help get launched. I don't need to run it. I don't want to run it. God will send those that are more than capable of doing that task. My job is to be a facilitator and help get it started. A little local radio station serving Chilhowee, Marion, and 7 Mile Ford. We have been blessed with a construction permit to build a radio station, and we're beginning to raise the funds toward that goal. Now, the station will be inexpensive to operate. It'll be an outreach of the church. There's some other online ministries and other things that are in the back of my mind. I just want to be the facilitator to create them and then hand them off to the leaders that God sends. And then I want to help young pastors plant churches. Maybe they don't know where to start or even how to get started. I've got another clergyman. I've got a guy that in about 2 weeks I'll be ordaining to the full ministry. And his goal is to plant churches. And I want to help young pastors that, you know, many denominations, they can't do it anymore. The giving is down. The economy is bad. And the world is a hostile place. You know, there's like we've been vaccinated against Christianity, just a little bit to make you not want it. Or a fake and phony Christianity that is not biblically based. And so these young pastors are going to have a real challenge on their hand. How do you start a church where you're not providing major entertainment, a light show, smoke machines, and what have you? How do you get people to be interested again in the Bible? Had a guy remark about the church that I pastor. Boy, you guys read a lot of scripture. And I'm thinking, there was a time that virtually all churches read a lot of scripture as a part of their service. We do an Old Testament lesson. We read a psalm. There's a New Testament epistle lesson. You know, one of the letters of either St. Paul, John, Peter, you know what I'm talking about. And then a reading from the gospel. And then we preach a message that is dealing with one of those scripture references, generally speaking. There's a lot of Bible going on because people are not into God's word. When I was in a Christian school as a child, we had to memorize Bible verses each and every day, starting in kindergarten. Now, they were short little passages. But you want to know something? When you read and digest inwardly God's word, it becomes a part of you. I went through some dark times in my life, times that I wasn't serving the Lord with gladness like I should. I was busy in a career. I understand it. I've been there. I've made those mistakes. Yet, in my deepest times, when God allowed me to be the prodigal son, and I didn't turn my back on God. I just wasn't living like I should for him, worshiping as I should weekly, participating, studying. I just wasn't being a good steward and a good servant. But in some times of, shall we say, crisis, all of those Bible verses I memorized from the time that I was 5 to the time that, you know, I was in high school, they came back. They are a part of who I am. And they guided me out of that darkness and into God's light again to be restored. Maybe you're a prodigal son or daughter. Maybe you believe you're a Christian, but you know you're not really participating and you're not really in God's word. And these are some of the other ministries that I want to develop to help you. There are many churches that just don't teach the Bible anymore. They have all kind of social activities. They have all kind of music shows. And when in some of the music today doesn't even mention the name Jesus or the word God or any of it. Talks about, I want to be near you. I want to be close to you. I want to be with you. Well, who are you talking about? Some of these Christian songs sound like some kind of a slobbery love song that some teenager would sing to their boyfriend. I want to be close to you, near you. I mean, for that matter, I mean, Tammy Wynette's song, you know, "The One Place I Want to Be" is near you, is probably just as scriptural as some of the stuff coming out of the contemporary Christian music, marketed music today. That's why at my church, not my church, but the church where I'm pastoring, our music may be old, it may be new, but it's always Christ-centered. There's always a message, a biblical message in the music, period. I don't care about genre and style. It means nothing. What I care about is what is being said, what is being taught, what is being delivered on that melody to a person's mind and heart. The same with media. That's why I'm developing a Roku TV channel, where I plan to have some additional programs soon. All free. There's going to be no subscription price. These are the kind of ministries that God is calling me to do at this point in my life. I'm going to be 70 this year in October. So I'm going to hold on to 69 as long as I can. But I'm not going to just rust out. I may wear out, but I'm not going to rust out. I want to be an active in God's kingdom every step of the way, as long as He gives me breath and strength. I recognize my physical limitations. Having this bladder cancer was an eye-opener. It also reminded me how precious life really is and how we should never take time for granted. Don't keep putting off till next year or year after those things that God has called you to do today. I know a lot of you wrestle with it. I did. I wrestled with a call on my life for decades, and I successfully evaded it for decades. Working in radio, being an on-air announcer, then a major market engineer, then building equipment. But God eventually steered me to work what I thought was going to be for 1 year to help out a Bible college. It ended up being 14 years building on their campus, and another, 5 years after, as a consultant. It was also the time that God really worked me over and created the opportunity to study for His ministry. And that I did. I'm thinking it's been 28 years that I've spent in ministry. I've been the pastor of large churches and small churches. I've built missions and I've saved some, kind of restored them. And it's been a privilege to serve an almighty God. But I think at this point, yeah, being the senior pastor of a church, maybe helping plan another mission or two with some young pastor that's just starting out, that needs the assistance. God has given me the ability, the place. I can see doing ministry in more than one location. This radio program is just one of them. And I can see this program having some co-hosts, more than just Jim Calhoun. I love Jim, and Jim and I have talked about this, and he thinks it's a great idea. There should be several of us to produce this radio program, to contribute, to make sure that it's fresh and the content is up to date and accurate. Do you believe in the work that we're doing? Would you today, for the first time, consider a gift to Truth to Ponder? You can visit our website, truth2ponder.com. 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 Look for the tab that says support. We use Give, Send, Go, a Christian online processing corporation. They've been wonderful to deal with. And that's the only one we deal with. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. The city, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth the number 2, and the word ponder.com. That's truth, the number 2, ponder.com. Truth to ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.